Blog Talk Radio.
Rap for a City, we are back to kick your week off right. Welcome to the wrap up. We got 60 minutes, man. I'm feeling some type of way because after the 60 minutes, I got to get back in that zone. But we are here. Sports extravaganza. I said it Friday. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's like holiday season in the sport world. So I'm feeling some type of way. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to catch it. Timeless is alive. Sports City. Welcome to the wrap up. Let's go.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers.
Okay. The call, the number is 917-889-959. So you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. That could have been anywhere else in the world. But y'all are here with the chef. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on in the sport world today, especially with the coaching carousel, especially with some interesting names out there on the board. Games kicking off all across the postseason world right now, NHL, NBA, MLB kicking off the right way. We are nearing, I can't even believe I'm speeding the year up, but we are nearing the end of April already. We're actually past the halfway point, so we're near May. People are getting close to July and August. I'm helping us. I know a lot of people want to see that football season get here. But let me get this thing started. Calling in by way of the Virginia region, I have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the wrap up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. And right now is my sports world right now spinning. I got two games on and trying to figure out which one I will dominantly watch.
Listen, I'm going to tell you like this, that at one point I had the Rangers, I had the Thunder, and now that I got the MLB TV pass, I had the Twins on at the same damn time. Talk about flipping channels. Okay, look, it's not cute trying to keep up with three and knowing one of them, or two, let me get it right, knowing two of them are in playoff form, being the Rangers and the Thunder, knowing I watch all of my boys. It's not like I can take
pictures.
Well,
I've got the Nationals, Thunder, or Nationals,
Whoa! Did we just hear that on air, people? Sports City. Whoa!
We're after because I need to see what goes on in Toronto up north.
Sports City.
Let's go, Caps. Let's go.
Sports City. I think he might have jumped over to our side, man. He said the Thunder. I'm liking it already. I'm liking it. If he's joining the Thunder, I'm impressed. I'm happy. Okay, so Tommy, I'm gonna let you start cooking it, and I'm gonna put my recipes out here and see what I can put together. In the meantime, welcome to the wrap up. Throw the first dish out there.
Yeah, let's might as well talk about it. Get it off, because before I know it, you're gonna bring it up. Nationals lost last night. Yeah. I said they're talking about Philly on the closeout. It happened. But you know what? The MVP, homered again. It would have been a game winner if it wouldn't have been Fred Dumbass, and I'm going to call it Dumbass, Papelbon, blew his face. And I'm going to be serious with you, Sports City, and Timeless, I'm not surprised. Because there's been a couple games against Atlanta. See, we played Atlanta five times, something like that. Played a couple games in that Miami got us in that we won in D.C. I'm shocked he didn't blow those. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you right now, get rid of him. He doesn't have it. We've got guys now that's doing better in the eighth, in the seventh and eighth inning, that's one better than he is. That could close for this team. I'm telling you, we don't win this division, it'll be because of him. I'm happy right now where we're at. We have, I believe, a 5-game lead. So, but he better start pitching like Pat Bunn, or he's got to go.
Now, Sports City, you just heard the key situation of what he just said, right? I hope everybody heard what he just said. They have a 5-game lead, and he blew one game. He blew one game. Listen, it was interesting, and I love Dusty Baker. I'm not even going to sit here and act like I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
as
I love
much
Dusty.
As I wanted to... Hold on. You're going to talk about this when you had your turn to cook. Now, here goes the interesting scenario. Dusty said that's the harsh reality of being a closer. You have to forget what happened yesterday. And that's all across the league. But knowing that he had to stress the situation, including losing a game to Philadelphia where the Phillies don't look that strong like they used to about 4 or 5 years ago. And to be honest, if a piece of Pablo Bond is still in Philadelphia because he was pitching there, you know what I'm saying? And knowing that, you know, when you used to play for a certain organization, you start to overdo it, overexert yourself, try to put the ball in, you know, positions in the batter's box, if you will, to see if you could pinpoint, and these guys are catching them. It's a loss that you guys suffered, so be it. Like, I mean, not to try and be like, oh, forget about it, which he needs to forget about it, but he's going to have to come back out there and say if you guys are up again in the eighth, seventh, or eighth inning, he's going to have to come back and do the same situation all over again. Millions of dollars are in this guy's piggy bank for him to go out there and be successful or throw a pitch that the placement could be wrong at the given time. This occurs across the league. Look, let me just put myself in the dirt. I'm going to put myself deep in the dirt right now. Look at the Minnesota Twins. And not to say every scenario this season on how they came out to a bad start with all of the losses that they amounted, but last year and the year before, their closer was Glenn Perkins. Glenn Perkins started the first 2 or 3 games good. Every other time he came out, he was blowing saves. He was getting knocked out of the park. He was giving up home runs late, and teams were winning games. And it was like, okay, well, you know, you got to try and survive the storm. The Twins were still somewhat in the hunt. I mean, God forbid I say it like this. If the Royals were so hot last year, the Twins would have been a playoff team. The Royals were so smoking hot that they basically thumbed the Twins out. The Twins played excellent ball last year. Excellent ball and couldn't make the postseason. So it's like, just like I said, like Dusty said, you got to be able to forget that stuff and go out there and play. And besides that, Bryce Harper is probably the talk of Major League Baseball right now. Probably the talk of the Major League. What did you say? Pitching-wise.
And the Arrieta thing.
Well, the two of them, and this is something that Nacho also hit on, too. Arrieta actually pitching 48.5 home scoreless innings straight. Now, interesting scenario is they have a matchup today up against division rival and one of the, you know, powerhouses in Major League up against the Cardinals in St. Louis. So I want to see how that goes down today.
He's not pitching this series.
Right. No. I'm talking about the Cubs in general. But knowing what they have going on, knowing that the Cubs came out the box playing excellent ball, knowing that the Cardinals don't want to be forgotten about how they're a stronghold in the National League, this all comes into play. The National League is playing some good ball right now. There's a couple of teams that people need to pay notice to. But it's early. It's early. And just like I said, it's just one game, Tommy. It's one game. This stuff is going to happen. It's going to happen, especially with Pablo Bond, because a lot of batters get up there and want to try and knock his head off because of the snarl that he gives people. He's 6'5", 250, big, you know what I'm saying? So they don't want to be dominated at, you know, while they're on in a box up against a 6'5", probably 6'9", on the bump throwing downhill, you know what I'm saying? So, I think you guys will definitely manage and survive after one loss. It's one loss. You guys are the best team in the National League East right now. As it stands right now, you guys are the best in that division.
I got something.
Okay.
Remember how baseball show last week, unless you want to wait and save it for Wednesday, them Dodgers and Rockies really turned it around after Wednesday's show.
Especially the Rockies. The Rockies is definitely putting
in. I mean, they went into Chicago and won, what, 2 or 3?
Right.
The Dodgers won, what, 2 or 3, I believe, against San Francisco. And now they've got a 1-game lead.
Well, this is early. I want to see if this is fool's gold or not with the Dodgers. Because let's be real, we see the Dodgers like this consistently the past 2 or 3 years. And as soon as they get around August, September, they start to fall apart. Injuries may come around. Kershaw may start to slip. Like, these things happen with the Dodgers. Can they remain consistent with all of the money that they have wrapped into this team? Can they stay consistent? And the Rockies, like, that's what I said about the Rockies. For them to fight in this storm and get right back in a position and make things happen is a whole other story on what's gone down here with the Colorado Rockies. They are now in second, a half game ahead of the Giants and a half game behind the Dodgers. So it is getting interesting in the West. The Padres, as many of the names that they did have there, are in the cellar, Diamondbacks right ahead of them. Like, but this is a division you have to watch out for. Like I said, the National League is playing great ball right now. From the Central to the West, like there's some good ball being played for the most part from what I've seen thus far. Okay, I'm going to start throwing out, you know, some dishes unless you have more up your sleeve that you like to get out there. I'm going to definitely start to get to some of these topics that I have up to bat, or if you will, that I have here in the kitchen today.
No, go ahead. Let's throw some of that. I know you want to get to the playoff games yesterday.
Okay, well, I know that we were in agreement, and we talked on several games that happened yesterday, and also some of the games that are happening today. Which game would you like to touch on first that happened yesterday?
Might as well go right in order, the way they went.
Okay, first and foremost, this was the surprise series to me, how I thought things could actually go down with the Pistons as the 8th seed going up against the number 1 ranked in the East, you know, led by LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. And they kept this tight all the way, I want to say throughout the game. I don't even want to say, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter where it starts to unravel. The Pistons were hitting shots, and this was something that I was actually concerned with the Cavaliers. The Pistons could rebound with Andre by himself, no, let alone if they get another body in there to help him rebound. They can get a game off of Cleveland. I feel like they can go into Ohio and get a game. I don't even feel like they need to go to Michigan and go back home into the Palace and steal a game. I feel like they could get it done in Ohio, put pressure on this Cavalier team. But you know what messed them up? And I feel bad that I'm doing this right now in Sports City, because everybody know I love my Thunder. Reggie Jackson getting selfish at the end of the game. Now, I know he got fouled. I know. Emotions get rattled into the game. It's all tied together, so on and so forth. You do not go approaching that referee. You do not go flailing your arms, because, to be honest, you know these refs are waiting to see somebody get all emotional. They're waiting to see that happen. He did that, got the technical, and felt like they were trying to claw their way back into the game and couldn't really get initially over the hump. Now, I know that this was something that LeBron and them took, personal, because they were catching Reggie in the, you know, screens and having Reggie man-on-man up against LeBron, and LeBron really made him look like a little boy in the paint, like real bad. So, like, Reggie needs to be a team player. Do what is necessary to get the job done, because they had the game in hand. In hand. Had the lead late and everything. All you got to do is manage and score. Don't turn the ball over. Don't take crazy shots, because the Cavaliers are going to score. They're going to find a way to get it done. They have guys that are going to play the perimeter and attempt to knock shots down. And Kevin Love's a shooter. J.R. Smith is a shooter. You know, as much as LeBron wants to go out there and shoot as well, LeBron can knock him down. He's at home. Kyrie's definitely a shooter. I mean, they have guys that are going to make things happen. You guys have to know that you guys have the capability to upset the Cavaliers and definitely shock the world. Definitely. Definitely. Your thoughts on the game yesterday, the Pistons losing an interesting game up against the Cavaliers.
Yeah. For them to be actually had a chance to win this was Kyrie, Kevin Love, and King James, LeBron James, Crybaby James, whatever you want to call him, combined for 80-plus points. And they still had a chance to win this ballgame. They just need to play together, stop having Reggie Jackson try to go 3-on-1 and get shot clock violations. And some of the caught, I mean, some there were some questionable calls that they wasn't getting and Cleveland got, but you're going to get that with a LeBron James team. But you can't be getting frustrated with it and everything else. And you got to stop with the stupid turnovers. And they can steal a game in Cleveland. I really believe this. If they cut out some of the turnovers. Think about it, Ty. The big three, if you want to call them that, combined for 80-plus points, and Detroit was still had a chance.
Detroit had a lead going into the half. Detroit had a lead going into the fourth quarter and then managed to let the Cavaliers get their legs under them and outscore them by 7 in the fourth. So they had a chance all throughout the game. Even in the first quarter, it was tight. You know what I'm saying? So Detroit is putting the pressure to this Cavaliers team, in which I hate to, you know, travel back in the time machine of my life, but this goes back to my senior year, 98-99 year, where the Miami Heat were going up against the number 8 seed in New York Knicks, and the Knicks knocked off the Heat. And the Knicks went to the finals that year, even though they ended up losing to the Spurs and then off to the legacy of the San Antonio Spurs, where it started right there. But it can happen. And I actually had to get one on the chin watching my Sonic back in 93 lose to an 8 seeded Denver Nuggets team. I still remember
well,
the Kevin McCullough.
I think it was 2005, might have been 2006, when Golden State knocked off Dallas in 8-1.
Right. We've seen 1-8 make it happen. See, this is what I like about the NBA, because you won't see, like, a number 16 seed in college just, you know, try their best but still end up getting beat to smithereens by a number 1 seed. This is all a fresh start for everybody. Just because their record is that way doesn't really depend on how these guys are going to, you know, translate to be on the floor. I feel that the Pistons have a body to stay in front of LeBron. I even called it. I said that the Pistons had a guy or two to D him by committee being LeBron. LeBron had 22 points yesterday, even though he had a stellar game, 22-11-6. You don't want LeBron to have one of those 32-point games, 44-point games, and he's annihilating you guys. This is a game that was in hand for the Pistons. This is I truly believe if Reggie didn't get caught up in the refs and started getting emotional about what was happening on the floor, kept his mind on the game, this game could have went either way. Could have went either way. Like it's something about the Cavaliers, like, they're not ready for the big game. It's just something about them. Like they'll play an interesting team that they're supposed to dominate the right way, but the big games, I don't know if they're not up for the challenge or what, but the Pistons have to know what's at stake right now. Stan Van Gundy needs to just settle this group down and get them pumped up for their game 2 matchup. I really do feel like they can make this happen. They can get one in the queue in Cleveland. I feel like that can happen. I do.
You've seen Van Gundy late in the fourth quarter. He called a timeout, or there was a commercial timeout, or one or the other, and he pulled Reggie to the side and was telling him, you can read his lips, you need to calm down. You need to pass the ball. Move it.
And, of course, Reggie not trying to hear that. Reggie's playing that hero ball, and it's not going to work because it's a young unit. It's a unit that needs to know that they got to do this by committee. It's not going to be a situation where he's doing this alone, and that's something that he's trying to do right now. Anything else before we get away from this first matchup of 4 on that Sunday afternoon?
And we pretty much said it all.
The next matchup, I don't even know where to start.
I can tell you where to start.
Okay, well, I'll let you open up the second matchup Sunday afternoon.
Whiteside. Dang, D-Wade. Whiteside, I completely forgot about him for some reason yesterday morning show. He come out and play like that. I just put it this way right now. That's how the Heat's been playing pretty much since they had Joe Johnson. And if they play like that, I don't see a team in the East that will beat them in the playoffs. Whiteside dominated that paint. And that kind of, I mean, it doesn't shock me. He just shows how, what kind of beast he can be. I'm telling you, do come out there and look like men versus boys in that paint.
Here's an interesting thought or opinion, because I agree with Tommy wholeheartedly on what he just said. Listen to this. Luol Deng went off for 31. I have not seen this Luol Deng play like this since he was fresh in Chicago. Not like when he was back in Chicago. I'm talking about when he was fresh, no injuries. Like, everybody knew who number 9 was. That's the last time I seen Luol play like this. And then here goes Whiteside going off, right? And then it's like, okay, Whiteside and Deng are playing great ball. It's like, y'all forget Flash still there, and he don't move like Flash, you know what I'm saying, because he's older now. You could probably call him Sonic or something, I don't know. He's something, but he's forgetting that Flash still there, and he put up, what, 19, right? People are lucky right now, or let me not even say people, the Hornets are lucky that Joe Johnson wasn't going off. Picture Joey was hitting shots at the same time that the Cavalry was knocking down shots. Luol Deng was over 50% from the three-point land. He was over 50%. Like, if Joe's knocking down shots, Wade is playing that type of ball, Whiteside protecting the rim, I'm sorry, Charlotte. Michael Jordan, I can't even sit here and fake like I don't, but I love you. Y'all are getting swept. They could put up all of those Michael Jordan crying memes and every last thing on all of those Hornet jerseys if they want to. If they don't find somebody else to step up, and here goes another thing for the Hornets, too. Yeah, I know he's the point guard, and I know I'm not big into, you know, point guards that want to be the everything scoring guard. Like, even though, you know, Russ has that capability, but Russell's actually settled down and started moving the ball, Kemba has to shoot the ball for this team. Kemba Walker has this. He only had 13 attempts. Not makes. He had 13 shot attempts in the day, in which he knocked down 6. So he was damn near 50%. You got to call a timeout. Tell him to take no shot. Set up screen so he can get to the rack. Like, get something done. You guys got annihilated, and everything wasn't clicking for the Heat. And ice the cake. There's no Christopher Bosh. There's no Christopher Bosh, and you guys are getting killed like that. Like that. Hornets, I don't know, you guys dodged a bullet, and this was out of hand. Like this is annihilation to the 10th power. If you guys don't get somebody else to step up, this could be curtained real fast. I think this can. Tom, anything that you like to say before we get away from it?
Nothing, but remember, this was my Eastern Conference champs. I'm telling you. This team is on a mission, and if they play like they just did last night, yesterday, wow.
I just want to see if somebody else step up, if Joe Johnson could be consistent, or if they could get Gerald Green to come off the bench and do something, or the kid Richardson, who is slowly turning into one of the players that I like because he's a dunker. I love that. He's a finisher, and he can shoot. You know what I'm saying? So they got – I don't know what Pat Riley was up to. I don't know what Spoelstra was up to, but they got something cooking in South Beach. Let me tell you, they got something cooking down there. Hornets, I'm trying to keep it real with you. You guys had identical records at 48-34. It was 3-4-5-6 how the situation went down. If y'all don't get somebody else to step up outside of Kemba, I mean, even though Batum was the high scorer, this could be over in 4 for real. I can care less if y'all go back to Carolina. It can get messy. Okay. Here goes another matchup that looks ridiculous and incredible. The San Antonio Spurs annihilate, or whatever word you want to use, the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't even want to call them Grizzlies right now the way that they looked yesterday. Like, their leading scorer was Vince Carter off of the bench, people. Vince Carter's leading the team in scoring in San Antonio. Like, no, Zebo not showing up. Lance Stephenson not showing up, like, this could be, well, not could be. This is over and for. I don't care if they go back to the Grindhouse and go to the FedEx Forum and try to get this done and get the Grindhouse rocking and rolling. The Spurs got too much for them, man. And plus, the Spurs ain't lose a game at home. They lost one game at home at the end of the season, they're Golden State. Like, they're not losing to a Grizzly team that don't want it. The Grizzlies don't want this. They definitely didn't look like it. And there was one play in the game that really had me, like, rattled. Tim Duncan, if you watch the way Tim Duncan takes the ball out of Z-Bo's hand, it looked like Tim Duncan was Z-Bo, and Z-Bo was Red from Friday. If you ever seen Friday, that's where Z-Bo got his nickname from. Z-Bo's the bully. You know what I'm saying? Tim Duncan took that ball out of Z-Bo's hand like Z-Bo did not want to play basketball. That's disrespectful to the way the Grizzlies came out and played ball. Flat. Vince Carter coming off the bench giving you 16, and that's leading your team in 74-point effort. David Yeager, you're going to have to go back to the drawing board if you're going to knock off Pop. I know that this is where you came from, him being a part of the Popovich tree, but you got to be successful up against this system. Has to be. Tommy, your thoughts on this game, anything interesting in this matchup that you saw?
Not really. I mean, this was just a Spurs team that came out, knew what they had to do, and did it and got it over with. It looks like they're going to keep it rolling, and they're focused. They are really focused. They played, I mean, this could be another sweep. And we've said that word a lot for these first-round playoff games. But, I mean, Pop had them boys ready and rocking and took care of business.
I hate to look at it like the injury situation, but I have to. They need Marc Gasol real bad. They need Marc Gasol. And they can't do nothing about it because he's out for the season. You know what I'm saying? But that's a situation that's painful for them. The nightcapper in this Sunday basketball games, if you will, with the Trailblazers going up against the Clippers, it's interesting that people, well, the Clippers and the Trailblazers Twitter pages were going back and forth. You had one situation where they had Chris Paul burping Damian Lillard because Damian Lillard plays baby in a commercial, and Chris Paul is a father. And knowing how Chris Paul went off last night, 28 and 11 assists, 6 rebounds to go along with it, close to a triple-double night. I really feel like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum could get this, you know, make this game interesting, but this is where it dominates the Blazers. They have no paint play. As much as I respect Plumlee, I think Plumlee plays this matchup in awe. I think he respects DeAndre and Blake so much that he doesn't know how to get involved in this matchup, and they're taking advantage of that. They're going after him and making it real tough on him or just going after what's available for him, not even to make it to say they're making it tough. They're playing their game. Plumlee's not doing anything to slow them down. And for them to actually go to the hack of DeAndre, I mean, he's knocking down free throws. I mean, he's at a 50% clip, but still, yeah, I mean, he's somewhat successful. So I don't know what the Blazers are going to have to do in this upcoming matchup. I know that they have to try and play better posterior defense. And Damian Lillard said he wants the job to try and slow Chris Paul down. It didn't look like he wanted it. It didn't look like it. I mean, Chris Paul was doing whatever he wanted to do yesterday in this matchup. And if Lillard can't, you know, contest the ball and make it difficult for Chris Paul to dribble the ball, he's getting a spot and opportunities that he wants on the floor at the end of the day. And, you know, tough job and job well done for Blake getting back to be ready for this postseason because he came out interesting enough. But to me, he still played that strong breed of basketball where if you're not strong enough to defend him, he's going to either get you in foul trouble or finish at the rim. And people are going to pay for it if they can't beat Blake Griffin. Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup with the Trailblazers losing by 20 in the Staples Center?
The Clippers came out and played like they needed to, pretty much. I still don't trust them coming out and play consistently like that. I still say this game, this series goes maybe, I still say 5 or 6. I don't think it'll go all 7. because it's because I don't trust the Clippers come out and play like this the way they did last night. What I, like I said, I didn't watch much of this one. I was watching the baseball game on ESPN. But when I kept flipping back, they looked like they should have always this series. But I don't trust them. They are the Clippers. So I'm keeping an eye out on this series. I still say it could possibly go six.
And I think the only thing that the Portland have to do is try to maintain at home. If they can still win in the Staples Center, then this actually makes this series even more interesting. But it's something about the Staples Center right now. They don't have the Lakers to root for, and Blake is back. Chris Paul is trying to make this team go as far as they possibly can. So they're going to get behind the Clippers team as much as possible while basketball is strongly relevant in the state of California. They at least have two teams still playing ball right now. We do have Mr. Silver here in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling good. I was listening to everything. I was wrapping up dinner. Took me so long to get in the kitchen, guys. I'll go real quick. I'll run through the four games of what you guys went through as speedy as possible. Detroit, Cleveland, the game I anticipated to go the way it went. I feel, you know, Detroit, if they can get one in Cleveland, which I don't know yet. It, like you said, it depends on if Reggie Jackson can realize that it's a team ball that's going to get this job done in Detroit. If he figures that out within the next day or two, then we might see a seven-game series that Detroit can pull out. So the game itself, it was a great game to watch, and, you know, just you know, a little disappointment, you know, watching the Pistons kind of, you know, blow it away there, but it was a great game. The second game there, the Grizzlies and the Spurs, it's a game that, to me, it's a game that, you know, we I don't know how you guys feel about it, but Marc Gasol makes this game way more interesting. He also makes this game a little bit more competitive, and I think this is a different style of Memphis Grizzlies than what we usually see. So I really do anticipate, you know, a sweep in this series. But Marc Gasol, man, imagine what he could do with the team still, with the players that they do have. But other than that series is all but be at a wrap. I'm sorry, what game am I missing? I don't want to get to the Clippers just yet.
So Heat and the Hornets. The Hornets and the Heat.
There, yeah. Yeah, that's how forgettable that game was. I'm sorry. I really thought that was going to be a closer game. And I really, you know, I got disinterested pretty quickly there. You know, watching Hassan Whiteside. And then a little bit of Wade sprinkled in. It just looked like this is the domination that the Miami Heat. I feel like if they continue to play like this, I don't expect them to dominate by this much every game, but this could be, you know, an 8 to 15 point victories, 4 victories in a row in a sweep as well. I think the way the Miami Heat are playing, they're trying to win one for old Dwayne Wade, and those other guys seem to really know what's going on. Goran Dragic really didn't get too crazy there, and again, like you said, there's no Chris Bosh. So I really do want to see what this team could do further on. But, you know, again, if the Hornets can get some – if they can get something going, or if Kemba Walker can start, you know, lighting it up, who knows what can happen. I just don't know if they've got enough on the team. To me, this Clippers, Portland Trailblazers, this is when the Clippers took a horrible dive and lose four straight to me. This is when – we all believe the Clippers can just rattle off a victory and another victory, and they look so clean, and Blake is back, and Chris Paul was the leader they need to be, and it's all fine and dandy, and the Lakers are out of the playoffs, and the Clippers are the only ones there. This, to me, has everything that last year's Houston collapse had written on it again. To me, this is just a situation where the Clippers, I think they played up to the best ability for 48 minutes, and that's all we're going to get. I hope when I'm wrong, because I really do think Portland can win every game and their home court, and then give them everything in LA. I really want to disbelieve that, but from what I've seen from Chris Paul and these guys over the years, nothing really makes me believe in that 20-point victory as if They've figured out how to defeat Portland, or they've got a stranglehold on this series. I think it's one good win. It's something they needed to do. And to me, if Portland comes out tonight, and like you said, if C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard take the reins and they get tonight, you know, it's a whole different story. Like you said, the series has started because that's just something that I can see happening in the next day.
Okay, and anything about this, the Blazers Clippers before we get away from it? Not okay. We'll get away from it. Just to kind of damper the situation on you two, Tommy, right now, 3-0 out the gate in Florida, just to let you know. 3-0
I know this.
Gate.
I'm watching this. I told you in the green room we would lose this because of Tanner Roark.
No, I know. I didn't want it to be like this at the first half of the first inning. You know what I'm saying? Like, they already jumped out there, so.
He did it the home opener. Tanner Roark gave up 3 runs against Miami in the first inning in D.C. for the home opener.
It's still the first inning, so you got time. You got time before we start getting crazy. I don't want to discourage him, Sports City. That's still my brother, regardless of the situation.
I just hope the Caps win, because if not, I really jinxed everything yesterday.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. The coaching carousel in the NBA. Now, of course, we know of 3 of them being considered 2 for the same job. In Minnesota, we have Van Gundy, being Jeff, the brother of Stan, which Stan is the coach of the Detroit Pistons. Jeff Van Gundy is being considered for the job in Minnesota, along with Tom Thibodeau. In this same carousel for the Wizards, they are considering Scotty Brooks, who I know so well that Tommy B would love to know so well. So speaking on this coaching carousel, I mean, with these names that have been thrown out and mentioned, to the select teams at this current time. Nobody has jumped the gun and pulled the trigger on anything as of yet, but I want to see how you guys feel about possibilities and fits for, and at least let's start with Minnesota. I'd rather see the Thibodeau move to the Timberwolves, because if they get a breed of defense there with the young talent that they have there, that can be scary, especially if Garnett sticks around. Now, I didn't say Garnett is a big piece of what's going on, but Garnett's championship ring came with Thibodeau and Doc Rivers in Boston. This can help them. I want to see how you guys feel about this coaching carousel with the very interesting names that they're throwing out there. Tommy, I'll start with you first.
Yeah, Minnesota, they would be so dangerous with Thibodeau. My goodness, could you imagine how good that defense would be? I mean, that would be dangerous. My Wizards, it'd be nice to get Brooks, and I think I'm being dead serious when I say this, I think the only reason they're even looking at him is because they really think he can get KD there. I think that's the only reason they're even interested in him. Because he used to coach KD, and they think he can bring him back, bring him home. I personally don't think he's going there. I mean, not after the season we just had. Look at Minnesota. I mean, why not stay where he's at? But the coaches, back to the coaches, I mean, that'd be dangerous. If they could get any kind of defense in there with what they've got already in Minnesota.
And that would be more Thibodeau, because Van Gundy's more of a team-related coach, getting everybody involved, which that is more like what the Timberwolves need, is to have like that team togetherness, is what Van Gundy would preach. But if they can get them two to work together, if they can get Thibodeau and Van Gundy, that'll be scary stuff. Because you're getting a defensive presence and you're getting Van Gundy, which has that strong offensive mind. Let's be honest. Van Gundy's 2 terms that I remember vividly was when he was with the Rockets And they were one of the more highest scoring offenses in the league with Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady. Not like Yao was putting up a thunderous amount of points, but Yao was scoring, and T-Mac at that time was nearing the end of his prime right there. That was when Tracy McGrady scored 13 points in 35 seconds and dunked on Sean Bradley, and nobody could stop that jump shot. That was what Van Gundy was the conductor of, especially with that winning streak. What did they win, like 27 games in a row with Shane Battier, Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming? Like, this is what he can do, especially with young talent. And Thibodeau, with or without Derrick Rose, had the Chicago Bulls atop the Eastern Conference. Had them atop the Eastern Conference. So this is something that they need to think about, which way they want to go. But if it were me, at the general manager spot, I would bring both of them into that damn room. Both of them. Thibodeau and Van Gundy. Which one of y'all want to be the head assistant coach? And which one of y'all want to be the head coach? Because I want both of you. You got Rubio. You got Wiggins. You got Cat. You got Danny. Like, they got names there. And I'm not even naming all of them. They got Muhammad. Like, and Zach LaVine, the dunker. And Zach is actually building up a jump shot. Like, if they learn to play defense, get stops, and play together, the Wolves would be four through eight seed in the Western Conference next season. If they get one of them coaches or both, I wish they could get both, if they can make it happen. Nacho, your thoughts on this coaching carousel with the coaches that have been named at this point for some of the vacancies in the NBA?
You know, when we take a look at this Minnesota team, I'll start there with what you guys are going with. And to me, it's just a team that honestly is just sorry about that. Just little kids running around. This team in Minnesota, I mean, take a look at it. Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Carl Anthony Towns. You got Ricky Rubio, and you add in a lottery pick in this year's draft. It's a dream job to be looking at. And to me, this is Tom Thibodeau's job. This is something that I firmly believe. You go and get Tom Thibodeau, you offer him any amount of money he wants, and you get him locked up for the next 4 to 5 years, and you watch his team become a playoff team in 2017. And if possible, and if goes in the right direction, a title contender in 2019. This team, it looks great on paper, obviously. But when you have a coach like Tom Thibodeau who's used to playing with you get what you get, and you just make everyone play defense and you learn, and then you sprinkle that in with an Andrew Wiggins, a lottery pick this year, you know, who knows what can happen, especially with the Carl Anthony Towns and the defensive prowess that you can run there. I mean, you just – that team in Minnesota is Tom Thibodeau's job. I really do believe that's something that for me, that's where I would see him going. Now, if we're going to look at another job, and I don't know if you guys want to jump to the Knicks right away or whatever, but the Knicks, to me, you know, this seems like everything's written on the wall for Kurt Rambis. But if it was me and I was going to I don't know why you don't bring in Brian Shaw or you don't even give Chadrick Ewing a try. I don't understand why you don't try that. I think you could fare well, if not the same or better than with the Kurt Rambis. We've seen what he has done already in this league. So to me, the Knicks, there's an open assortment of everything that can be going around. And I know we always ask the question, why doesn't Phil just step down and become the coach? I think he's already answered that. He could have done that last year. Instead, he hires the year before last, and we're still talking because their season's over. He could have done that with the Derek Fisher hire. Instead, he gets a lappy, so to speak, someone that he could command around, and that doesn't even work. I think he's really trying to find someone he can play on a puppet string. And maybe that's why Ewing or Shaw may not work, but and you bring in a Kurt Rambis because that guy's going to do everything that Phil says. So, but I don't know. But the Knicks, to me, is an interesting situation all in all because the perfect candidate to me, and I think Tommy's the one who brought it up, is a guy who sits next to Jeff Van Gundy is Mark Jackson. I think that's a perfect fit. I think the thing is there. I know the we've all seen the Reggie Miller winning time and what he did when he left for the Pacers, yada yada. I think that can be forgiven, and I think that they forget all that. He can be a great coach, and he could do the things that I really believe can get done. I think it'll work out.
Actually, Nacho, I agree. If Ty remembers last week, we talked about this next job, and I threw three names out there. Mark Jackson was one of them because he played in New York. He's from New York, and he went to St. John's. He knows the area. It is funny how Nacho brings up his job because I see the names that the Knicks are interested in. And he's an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors, and he actually coached some of the team this year. Luke Walton.
He turned them down. Luke turned Phil down. He told Phil no. He's not interested.
All right. Well, then that turns that down.
Right. But look. Even if you were to throw Luke's name in the pot, right? If you were Luke Walton, would you leave Golden State to go to New York and deal with the personalities of Carmelo and a young stud in Porzingis? I'm not taking anything away from Porzingis, but trying to make these two work while everything is going the way it's according to plan in Oakland, like, would you leave?
No.
Right. That's exactly what Luke is looking at it. Like, now I'm good over here. I can sit back and collect money and postseason checks as well and see how far we can get and potentially go right back to the finals and make this thing work. You know what I'm saying? But the thing with Mark Jackson, I think he needs a guard that can score. Like, Calderon is a guard that can knock down a shot here and there, but Calderon is the guy that they're going to send home to. Like they're going to actually either have to go to the draft or a free agency to get a guy that he believes in to make this happen. Not to say, like, he would turn it down and walk away from a Phil Jackson hiring, but I think it's going to take more than just Carmelo and Porzingis to come there because it's patchwork to be there. Even though I know a couple players there, I know Derek Williams, it's still patchwork for these guys to, one, be a top eight team in the Eastern Conference. That's work right now because now 9 through 10 are playing ball in the Eastern Conference. So the Knicks are trying to hover around that number. Can they get consistent play from Carmelo? Can he stay healthy? Porzingis, can he play consistently? Because even though he's a 7'3" guy, sometimes he'll get those games where he has 6 points to 12 points. You need that strong 17 to 20 out of him. Like, I'm trying to be fair. I don't want to say, you want 25, 27 out of the guy. He's young, but he definitely can score the ball. He has abundance of talent to make things happen out there on the floor, and I don't think this is what, a coach starting up wants to get done. Plus, Carmelo threw out a statement saying, take advantage of my window that I have here, because I think he only has 2 seasons left, if I'm not mistaken, on his deal. So they're going to have to make a move and make it soon or get somebody else that can help him. But if Carmelo continues to jack up shots from deep, that actually helps teams when they play the Knicks. It helps them. As much as he's an offensive threat, as soon as he's on the floor, he settles, and teams love that. They love it. Okay, anything else around these coaching carousels, at least from what we have right now and some of the dishes that we did put together, where I went from Minnesota and the D.C. situation with Scott Booker, if Scott could get down there, just like Tommy said, if that's an enticing situation to try and get KD down there, it would be interesting. It would be interesting, but I think they need more pieces down there. But, if he loved to go home, he can. Like, there's a lot of opportunity for KD, a lot of teams that could open up the checkbook for him. I'm just hoping he stays put. But, from hearing the number that they might throw at him, it'd be hard. It's going to be hard. I don't want to go that route. Anything else before we get away from that?
I can't wait for the summer to come, free agents. I can't wait to see the money just get thrown around to some of these free agents.
Like who? Who are you waiting to see the money get thrown at?
KD, for one. I mean, the banks are going to be calling to hold his money and his checks.
Oh my God, I knew it, man. You set him up, I knock him down. I knew that that's how it was gonna happen.
I mean, just think about it: Houston, Lakers, Washington, Miami's interested. So there, I mean, there could be some. I can't think of everyone that's coming in this year for free agency. But, I mean, then you got, what, next summer, Westbrook's going to be a free agent. Couple others that slip my mind right now. I mean, this summer's going to be crazy, I think. What's LeBron do? Does he opt out? Well, he's a free agent too, right?
I'm not certain on when his deal is up, though.
I mean, this summer is going to be crazy, free agency.
The next two summers for me, okay? Just for you, for next this season, because of that D.C. crap. But I got 2 years to worry about right now. I knew. I'm just hoping that Sam Presti and Clay Bennett get this done. Get these boys to stay right where they need to be, man. Do not let this happen. The only place I see for K, if he does make the jump, would be D.C. There's a lot that has to be worked on in L.A. I think the market out there would be great for KD because the money's there. He'd be the man in Los Angeles, so on and so forth. But Houston would be there because him and Harden get along. But the Wizards and the Lakers, they have their own issues right now. They can't get out of their own way. Like, I feel strongly in him staying home. I was staying in OKC. I don't know about him going elsewhere, but, you know.
Let me throw two more teams out there. Let me know what you think. And if Nacho wants to jump in again. New York and Boston.
Well, the Boston situation is what he did entertain because he's a Larry Bird fan. But they have pieces there. But it's not like they wouldn't clear it out for Kevin Durant. But you want to keep those pieces there for him to play with. You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing. In New York, I think he would go there to play with Carmelo, but I think it would be too much. Like, you know, who's going to settle down? Like, is it Porzingis? You know, because Porzingis has had a heck of a season as a rookie out of the gate. Carmelo, ball-dominant guy, and Kevin Durant, even though he's passive, he needs to get into the game. It's not like he's going to go from averaging 26, 27 points a game to, like, 19. You know, so I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, we see stranger things happen. I said to me, the best option is to stay put in OKC and make this thing work. While he has interesting pieces around him there too. I mean, top three team in the West. Like that's it's still the Western Conference. You still know about the Thunder. Like, I don't know. Nacho, your thoughts on the other teams that Tommy threw out there? Either Boston or who's the other team that you threw out there?
New York. I think the New York situation is something that that's hard. I mean, you've already got so much money dumped in the Melo. He's already confirmed he's going to stay there. Who's the head coach going to be? I think that's a far fetch. They can't obviously give him the money, but I just don't think that's a good fit to me. If anyone can get that deal done, team friendly, KD friendly, and still have the pieces around. It's Danny Ainge in Boston. I think that what he's been able to do out there, they can get it done. He's been able that Boston team. I think they'll be able to get anything they can, anyone they want, and they'll be able to move some of the lower echelon pieces who we may not feel are you know huge to their team, but. Other teams will covet them. I think they can get around it, dump some of the lighter weight, and keep the main core guys over there. So KD still has a plethora of teammates that he can build with, and it's not just KD on his own with a giant check and no help.
Okay, I do have Arkeezy in the building. Royce, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm feeling good, fellas. How's it going? I just wanted to get in on some of this conversation.
Okay, well, you could pick up a plate as need be. Where would you like to pick up at?
Oh, man, let's talk about Kevin Durant and why you holding out on him. Talking about the best, the best opportunities for him to stay in Oklahoma City. You don't really believe that, my friend. Stop that. So let's get right down to it. We remember weeks ago I suggested Boston as being a great spot because of, you know, the opportunity. It is the Boston Celtics. Obviously, he'd be the franchise player. You have an excellent young coach. All the drama that goes with being in the East, battling LeBron James for Eastern Conference supremacy and things of that nature. But I do have a Western Conference contender who just jumped out at me all of a sudden today because of the conversation surrounding one Tom Thibodeau and Jeff Van Gundy. But has anyone given thought the Minnesota Timberwolves would look like with Kevin Durant as their new centerpiece? If you have Jeff Van Gundy getting off of the sidelines and coming out of the broadcast booth to take on this position, if Tom Thibodeau says, okay, I spent the year in oblivion, I want this job and I want full control because the team is so loaded with talent top to bottom. Can you imagine Kevin Durant as the centerpiece with that many weapons? It's like OKC when they were Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, James Harden. Like, yo, you could turn back the hands of time, do it all over again, but this time get it right. You have to consider the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't think anybody who has a superstar already on the team is going to really be in consideration. I mean, like a franchise player, because let's just think about it. The NBA is all about business, about the dollar line, revenue sharing. Look, Kevin's not going to go play in Golden State. Too many stars already there. Kevin's got a little bit of an ego. He knows he's the man. Even though he's a quiet assassin, he knows he's the man, and he's starting to feel that pressure. We saw what happened with that last-minute season starter trade. Look up in Houston, All-Star game is coming. You have no franchise player. We know what we'll do. We'll pluck one from OKC. They got about three MVPs. Let us get James Harden. Now James Harden is a bigger star in Houston than he would have ever been in Oklahoma City. Imagine the dollars Kevin Durant rakes in with his own team. I'm not saying Minnesota is the landing spot, but that kind of gives you an idea of it makes perfect sense for Kevin to go somewhere where it's his team. I'm not saying he can't have a Robin, but Russell Westbrook is nobody's Robin. He's his own Batman, and that's why Kevin has to go at this point. That's why Westbrook started developing such great chemistry with a guy like Enes Kanter, and this was best for the NBA. That's what you got to remember. The players are going to get their money. The owners are going to get their money because they share the wealth. Regardless of what, how the pie is divvied up, doing collective bargaining, they still are sharing the wealth. Contract-wise, Kevin Durant is as good as gone. It is what it is. I don't know where he's going, but he's out. Let's keep it real.
What about Sacramento?
Hell no.
You know, to me,
well,
this is something that
when it, let me pump my brakes. I'll pump my brakes because they do have a brand new facility coming this season. But management is horrible, completely horrible. That front office, that management, the coaching changes. Look what's been happening to DeMarcus Cousins. No way in hell Kevin Durant's going to choose that. If they were in a better situation in terms of their front office and coaching, and they could be a play because, again, it's a completely brand-new arena that's coming this upcoming season, my opinion.
I mean, with Cousins, Rondo.
Rondo. Listen, the best thing that could happen for Sacramento is Cousins get out of town. That's the best thing that could happen for DeMarcus Cousins. He should be screaming and pitching a fit, or as they say, pitching a boogie-woogie. Boogie should be trying to get out of Sacramento ASAP. He'll never win anything in Sacramento. I envision Boogie Cousins as being a perennial winner. He'll make, I know he made like the All-Star team and all that, But, I mean, this guy would be a hands-down lock to maybe possibly even be first-team All-NBA if you put him on a team with a winning culture, with other quality players that could elevate his game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just – it's too much. And, I mean, for a guy who pretty much is taking the rap, being viewed as a villain, it's not all true. And I think more people are starting to see it, and they're starting to envision DeMarcus Cousins somewhere else. Let's just find out how dominant he could really be. And I hope it happens sooner than later, as opposed to this guy kind of taking the, I don't know, Moses Malone kind of route or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Or where a guy is just, you know, doing his thing, and he's great at what he does, but he's not that household name. He's not getting that status that he truly deserves until, you know, he gets with other great players.
Okay. Anything else left around the situation before we start to shut it down? And Royce come in with the black bean dish of the day. He came in here with some black beans. I know that. I know that. But you know what beans does to your stomach? Indigestion.
Man.
Indigestion.
Shut it down already?
Am I late? Shut it down. We started at 7, and I have a team that I'm interested in that you're talking about right now, okay? Right now, okay?
They playing the Mavericks. Hey, listen, if you're playing the Dallas Mavericks, all I'm going to say is nothing to see here. Keep it moving. OKC, on to the next round. Man. This is not must-see TV right now. It is not must-see TV right now.
Listen, you're telling me that Kevin Durant is leaving. So I can't enjoy every last drop of this?
It might be your last chance to see him in an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform. Not quite, because, they're still going to the next round, man. It's not like Dallas is about to put the Thunder out, bruh. You'll be able to see him in round two. If they play Golden State, yeah, that might be a must-see TV round, okay? That's just what's going on. You're still going to have your boy Meek Meek, so you better get all your Meek Meeks in. And all that good stuff, you need to start saying Enes Kanter, Russell Westbrook, Enes Kanter. That's going to be the duo in Oklahoma City. Start 2016-2017. Get used to it, my brother. KD, them to the coop. That's my closing plug. I'm out. Bye.
Look, look at Sports City. This is what I'm talking. Okay. No problem. No problem. Yeah, and it's funny. I'm glad that you're laughing. I'm glad that he entertains you. See, this is what I deal with, Sports City. I got one person coming in the kitchen trying to get Kay to go to the Capitol, trying to get him to go back home, trying to get Scott Brooks back there so he could try to entice Kay back there. Then I got people that would be outside the kitchen talking about, yo, he's coming to L.A., man. There's a whole bunch of money out here, Kobe gone, so on and so forth. You got serious, I'd be like, yo, he's coming down here with Harden, Duke, this, that, and third. And I feel that because these two are tight. And you got Royce coming here with a Louisville slugger, really taking my knees out like he's freaking Tanya Harden and Nancy Kerrigan. Like, he got mad because I was doing figure eights. KD Trey 5 bomb state of OKC. Feel me? Look, stop that. I'm not. Look. I need a plug, close out, shut down from you, Tommy B, since Royce want to be particular. Came in here swinging and picked up pop the pen and throw stuff around the kid. This is what I got to deal with, Sports City. But you already know what to do, Tommy. Let's shut it down.
Wow. Good show. See everybody. Talk to everybody tomorrow. Hopefully my Nets can turn this god-awful game over and the Caps can pull out and go up 3-0. But it don't look good.
I got to sweat out my series with the Penguins. I got to watch my boys go up against these Mavs, man. He's talking about this ain't must-see TV. This might be the last time you see Dirk Nowitzki all together, too. Like there's a lot in this series, man. So there's a lot. I still like to see Russ and D-Will go at it. Like, he bugging. He's talking about there ain't nothing to see here. Russ and D-Will, that's must-see TV. I like that. Them two is Olympic guards. Those are Olympic guards, all-star guards, man. Look. even though D-Will fell off. D-Will ain't the same D-Will, but I feel like to see the matchup. I feel like to see the matchup. See, some people like big teams. Like, you know what I'm saying? Royce liked the Sixers. You know what I'm saying? Royce liked the Pacers. I love the Thunder. There's a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like Tommy, he likes the Wizards. I love the Thunder. There's a difference. Like and love. There's a, man, I already know. SportsCityShows.com.
Get your heart broken when you love, brother.
See, I ain't cut nobody off. I let him talk. I let him do what he do. You see how they cut me off? They always do that. I can't never get my plug, yo. Never. Never. They always come in here and lick their fingers in front of me. Anything, man. Take my pocket.
Hey, the Raptors are up right now.
They killing the Pacers. But they, listen, true. That's a do or die situation, though. Because if the Raptors mess around and lose that game, they're finished. I must say. Okay, SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow with the cookout. Some of you talk about the games that take place tonight and the games that will take place tomorrow that we get to jump into as well as time progresses. I want to hear more about the Steph Curry situation on this ankle situation. If his ankle still bothers him, they may hold him out for this game. Houston has to take advantage. They have to take advantage if Steph ain't on that floor. If not, if they lose this game and Steph is chilling, y'all can kiss the baby. That means good night. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know, people. Let's go.
Woo! 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 And back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfucker.